Alright, fucking God help us on this one. Love you so much!
Welcome to the unofficial King Gizzard podcast. This is the show about the best band in the world. Question that, Mark. I'm Captain Shipwreck.
I'm Professor John P. Weather Clock. And today we're going to talk about Red Rocks 2022. And it's been, I feel like it's been a while since we recorded. Thank you for all the letters, every one of them. It's nice. It's nice to get them.
And we do so far, we've managed to respond to everything that we've gotten so far. We are up to date. So if your letter hasn't been responded to, yes, it has.
It's because you didn't send it.
It's probably why.
That's it. We got this glitch in our system. So Red Rocks 2022 is three shows, which are not consecutive. Two of them were. I didn't realize this, actually. So we have two nights that were back-to-back, and then 4 weeks between the third night, which is strange. And this run of shows, if you can call it a run, has been held up as maybe the best Giz show for a long time. And still, I see people this week on the internet kind of saying this is the best. This is the one to check out.
Professor, I've been putting my headlines way too late in the shows lately, but I say, sir, a great moment in Giztory as the boys join a pantheon of masters in the history of the legendary Red Rocks Amphitheater with a staggering 86 fucking songs over three shows.
That's a lot of songs. It might be too many songs.
Arguably.
Is it too many? And I want to, you know, let's talk about the show and come back to that question. Is this the best Giz show ever? I don't know. I think some people might be mad if we say yes or no. So, yeah.
Will they be mad if we don't commit?
I will be. And I count. So,
I was angry coming in here today, so why should it matter?
Do you, so we have some news to talk about first, though. Holy moly. Do you know about the news?
Which one?
All
is
the
there
news.
New,
yes, you
newer
know
news
that.
Than the news?
No. Well, let's start with Cavs. Cavs has a new album on the way.
Yeah.
He has a music video out. Tell me how you pronounce the name of the song title for the music video.
Why? How I pronounce it. Yeah. I say Candiru.
Candiru. And what is Candiru?
It is a legendary, mythical, or possible fish. That it is a fish. It may or may not swim into people's pee holes. That part's unclear.
Mm.
But that's an important part of the legend. And I think what's critically important somehow to this video.
Yes, the tree fucking is, I think, related.
I think it's related, right? If a fish can... No, it's not fucking. What is it when a fish goes inside of... You can't really call that a fuck. I don't know.
It's fucking
judges? Yeah. Yeah. And Cavs does... It, I think he lives to regret his decisions in this
video.
So
when Cavs puts his member inside a tree hole, is he the fish in this metaphor or is the tree the fish? Or is it unrelated?
The tree's the fish. I'm tree's confident the tree is the fish.
Because he comes away with
judges. Where the fuck are the judges?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He comes away with ferns growing out of his...
are those ferns?
I believe. Oh, I thought they were ferns and flowers. Yeah.
Some sort of ancient vegetation, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Cool song.
Good song.
I like the next song. It just came out a few days ago. I really like this song.
It's so good. What's it called?
Chocolate Rain.
First Light.
First Light. This Cavs new album might be my favorite Giz side project right now.
Yeah, yeah, strong like 70s cop show vibes.
Fiery, funky, just fun. It's not what I expected from the man who wears a Motorhead shirt every day.
No, he doesn't wear it every day. He wears other shirts.
But no, he wears the Motorhead shirt under all the other shirts.
Oh, every day.
Every day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he doesn't said so on his vocal podcast.
Trim his chest hair in the shape of the words Motorhead. Or as Lemmy's face. Or as in the shape of Lemmy's voice.
It's good, this stuff. And he's going to be playing a show on May 22nd in somewhere in
Australia. Is that the Thornbury Theater?
Yeah, the Thornbury Theatre.
I always get confused. Is that in Narm?
Narm, or Melbourne.
Or Melbourne.
Yeah. It depends on your age, perhaps.
Who's playing bass at that show?
Are we confirmed?
A little man
Joey
by
Walker?
The name of Hot Water.
Is he playing? I know he's on the album as playing bass, Joe Walker.
The poster put out by P Doom Records says Joe Walker bass.
Joe Walker bass.
It says Joe Walker bass, and that was the only person, well, except for Archibald Pommel Horse, whose name I know because we discussed the name as if it wasn't a real name, but it's a name.
Yeah, he's a real saxophonist in Melbourne. He plays at weddings and things, Archibald Pommel Horse. But yeah, Joey Walker, I mean, we've seen video of Cookie playing bass. I don't think I've ever seen Joey play bass.
No, but he plays bass on a lot of recordings. I know for sure he does on Infest the Rat's Nest.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Lucas said that Joey played it and that it was hard for him to then learn Joey's bass parts.
Right. I remember this now. Okay. So Cav's new album, the new album in total will be out on April 25th.
Sojourn.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
There's more news. Too. There's more news.
There's more news. More
news.
Oh my
gosh. Let me. Okay. So first we had this thing in the P Doom newsletter was an interview with Stu from a Turkish PhD in something. And I don't know if you saw this, but they talk about microtonal music. They talk about the giz scene. And then question number 9, what kinds of sonic experiments in tuning, in instrument building or cross-cultural dialogue are exciting you most at the moment? And Stu says, making techno and bluegrass at the moment, not at the same time. Well, not yet. Now.
Not yet then, but that was then.
That was then.
Now.
Now is now. And now Billy Strings was, I mean, you all know this. Anyone listening knows this, that Billy Strings was in Melbourne in the studio with most of the members, all of the members of Giz. And there have been photos and a couple of videos. One video that perhaps includes in the background some of the audio from this upcoming whatever.
There, right there, that's it.
Fuck, bye. I don't know how marketable that's going to be.
I think this is from Cav's video podcast on guitar playing.
Yes, in both videos, Cav is playing some sort of stringed instrument.
Yes, in this one, he's showing Billy Strings how to play guitar, finally.
Get a photo of that. Oh,
Wiki feet.
Yeah, I like Billy Strings a lot. You could call him bluegrass, jamgrass, psychedelic bluegrass. He said on an Ask Me Anything, I think on Reddit, on his subreddit, that Giz was the band he wanted to collaborate with. And this was a while ago. He visited them last year and then he came back and looks like they did some studio stuff. And what the fuck, man?
I'd be surprised if, I don't know what to think, but I'd be surprised if we only get like a song or something.
I would be too. I actually think, based on what I read from Stu's interview, that there's a techno album in the works and there's a bluegrass album in the works.
That sounds right. I would love to have a little combination of the two. What do you think? Is there such a thing as microtonal bluegrass?
Yes. I mean, every time you bend a string, you're microtoning.
No, damn you. Yeah, but I guess I mean non-Western scales.
Oh, then would it be bluegrass? I mean, yeah. No, shut up. You don't know me.
I never thought about it that way.
Oh, I'm excited. I think I'm excited. I don't need collaborations. Giz is fine on their own, and sometimes I prefer that. But let's see. They've proven me wrong. I didn't want an orchestra either, I think, but goddamn.
I'm not like a huge bluegrass fan. I like bluegrass. I just literally mean, I don't mean like, I'm not that into it, as in I'm not into it. I like bluegrass. I genuinely like bluegrass, but I've never intentionally sat down and like tried to bust out some bluegrass. I've had limited exposure to Billy Strings. There are moments where I do think that he's much greater than bluegrass. And there are times when he just seems to me like the world's greatest bluegrass performer, which is pretty cool. I think it's a natural fit for a type of music for Giz. They, I think maybe would be loath to admit, but I think would have to admit they kind of have a deep love of American music culture.
Absolutely. I don't think they would be reluctant to admit that, but bluegrass is not just American. It's almost regional. Like, it is a sub rootsy thing. I mean, you and I spent many years in the capital of Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio, and
that's right.
Bluegrass was a big part of like my time there, actually. And I think the music is awesome. It's very similar to bebop jazz to me. They came up at the same time. They were just for different people of different pigments.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's true. With or without pigments.
There are no dates for album stuff. There are no dates for future shows, although the rumor is the seventh show will be in New York somewhere. That is the strong rumor this summer.
We're going ahead and saying the seventh show as if that's definitely a thing, huh?
It was confirmed on Instagram by the band's manager.
Okay. Yep. So there's a seventh show, or okay. I mean, is there a seventh show before there's a seventh show? Seventh show of a seventh show? No. That's okay.
I think that's all we got. That's a lot of news.
I think you're right. I think that's all we have. We had a bunch of pictures. They might be in Giz studio, which would explain, but if they're not, there is a banana in the rack. And I would like to fucking hear Billy Strings on a banana.
Banana on a rack. La la la. No. But we did see in the studio photos with Billy Strings, you know, he's sitting there playing banjo, which is not his main instrument. And across the room is a giant Nathan next to the mixing console.
Yeah. What the hell does that mean?
Not a patch bay, but definitely a modular synth.
What do you call, I mean, if baby Nathan was, and then you have Nathan, and then you have Nathaniel, which seems to come out later. This is Nathanianus or something. This is quite a big goddamn thing.
Yeah, well, I guess if you don't have to move it around, imagine.
That's true.
And maybe it's designed for one person to use it, you know, the person whoever's at the console, rather than people needing to get around different sides.
That's true.
I don't understand how it works to begin with. So what are we doing here?
Not even one. Fair. That's not fair.
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit. Speaking of Fahrenheit, your voice gets hoarse when you get too cold. I'll warm you up. If you're thinking, then you're thinking too hard. So squish your brain and numb the pain. Sleepwalker. Anyway, those are my lyrics for the episode.
Excellent. Let's get into Red Rocks. October 10th, 2022. Red Rocks is, I don't know, maybe the most famous outdoor venue in the world. You and I have been there, kind of.
Ish. Yeah,
I have
totally.
Seen shows there. You have not seen shows there, but we went to visit. They wouldn't let us in, those fuckers.
No, they wouldn't let us in the fuckers at all. Like a fish denied its rightful place in a pee hole. we
it's
were disallowed
there. It is
because
gorgeous.
There was a terrible band rehearsing at the time.
Yeah, we got as far as the concession stands at the top of the amphitheater. It's an amphitheater set between huge red, I don't know what you call them, rocks, perhaps.
That's what I call them. That's what I've always called them.
Yeah. It's either, I believe it was a state park or a national park. But you can go in there when there's not a band playing. I've seen a few shows there. It's phenomenal. No pit because it's steep.
It's owned municipally.
By Morrison?
I think that's right.
Yeah. It's incredible. And these were the first shows that Giz played there. And according to them, they had been looking forward to it. Let's go.
Deal.
I have a drip of the day immediately. Because playing at, 6,000 feet in October and November is not necessarily going to be warm. And it's quite risky. And I really appreciate Ambrose's oversized chessboard cardigan.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I think that's at the top of my list. It makes a return later.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone by the time we get to Magenta Mountain. Yeah, it's awesome. And it is checkerboard, but it's
warped.
Not all checkers are the same.
Right, it's a little warped. Kaz wearing a Mothers of Inventions t-shirt. Awesome. Over his Motorhead shirt, obviously.
Sorry, Mothers of Invention?
Oh, Frank Zappa's band.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. I just said a Frank Zappa shirt, but I guess I'm not a Zappa guy. I'm sorry.
No, not me either. Okay. Joey wearing a Basket Venegono shirt, which is a basketball team in Northern Italy.
Makes perfect sense. Tucked in with a belt.
That's a good boy.
Good boy.
I mean, he wanted to show up proper to Red Rocks. Now,
knowing that you would pick the black and white sweater, I, I wanted to call out Lucas's bright red guitar cable with his bright red socks.
Oh, Lucas looked great. I mean, honestly, of all the outfits I would wear, I mean, he was denimed up.
Yeah, Texas tuxedo, if you will.
Kind of, but like more like a chore coat, which is my style. I'm wearing a chore coat right now.
That's called a chore coat. Could the listeners just take a look for a moment?
Yeah.
Judges? Would you wave your arms? Not like that. Yeah. Whoa. Put it back on.
See how my chores are falling out. Okay. Set one starts with, I think the song it had to start with, which is March for the Rich. Red Mars.
Why did it have to? Oh, of course. That's right.
Red Mars. Yes. Red Rocks.
I think Joey says, playing this song at Red Rocks.
That's what he said?
He says that. Yeah.
We're going to play many, many songs tonight, many, many songs tomorrow. And then there's another show at the end of November. And if you guys come to that, it'll be sick as well. Let's get fucked up and have a good time and love each other.
They play a lot of Flying V versus Flying A.
Yes.
I'm going to call it a Flying A.
It's all backwards to me.
It's right. I was going to try some Greek letters for that also. Hell.
Hell. Next song.
Admittedly, I'm not seeing Ambi on the crash cymbal here.
Uh-huh.
So there's this question about whether he was playing the crash cymbal by itself before the release of Petro.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We'll need to dig into that. Send us a letter if you can think of an example of Ambi playing the baby cymbal before the Petro tour, really. Because Petro came out on June 16th, 2023, but their tour started before that.
You can see in the show notes the P.O. box in the Cayman Islands to send that to.
Mm-hmm.
Magenta Mountain.
Magenta Mountain, Joey on the tiny keys.
Yeah, little zygote Nathan, my first Casio style.
This is the one he pissed on.
Is it?
It's gotta be, right?
That? Is that confirmed? Does it gotta be? That's a different kind of a question. Joey, Cookie, and Ambi all on synth.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just at this point, I assume Joey has pissed on everything on that stage and the stage itself. The bathrooms at Red Rocks are not accessible.
No, you have to climb up a rock to get there.
Yeah, a red one.
I can't imagine they're too hard to get to in Sydney Opera House, but you just fucking piss over the side, right? It's like in the water.
What is, the Opera House?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Just fucking piss there. What the fuck? God, just thinking about it makes me have to piss. All that water.
Does it seem to you that Cavs had a smaller kit back then in 2022, even though he was the only drummer? His kit seems larger these days.
I'm inclined to believe it, but there are still many, many toms.
Yeah, many toms, roto-toms that Stu likes to play with when Cavs is playing.
Is that why it's called a roto-tom?
Because you rotate it.
Well, someone does. You don't. It's a two-man instrument.
It's rotatable. That's all that matters. Yeah. The Magenta Mountain had a dark jam. It had a Stu solo, which is always nice.
It is always nice. Lots of little crumbling castles in there.
Oh, yeah. Been the Horology Suite.
Yeah.
I'm always watching Joey to see how much effort he's putting into it because I know how hard it is for him.
Yeah, on Inner Cell, though, I was noticing that he's just kind of starting with a very sparse rhythm line.
Mm.
And then by Loyalty, I think they have like two different sequence. This is a test duet singing. I think they have two different sort of vocal effects that are really cool. Unquestionably, Cookie playing the synth flute. I caught him this time.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't sure if it could be Ambi sometimes, but I definitively saw Cookie playing the flute on the synth.
It's nice to see him play something where you can identify the music, because I have a question. Is Cookie's guitar plugged in? I've been watching very closely, and I can't tell.
Yeah, you can tell on the stems. It's cool. He plays some cool. Yeah, I mean, it's decidedly rhythm.
Good,
but it exists. You can isolate his, although maybe not. I don't know, because you can't see him while listening to the stems, so they may have a switch that sends it over to preserve the illusion, just in case someone's looking a little too closely.
You know, someone set up. Oh man, it's like in a GitHub repo. But they set up a syncing tool for syncing the stems to the video.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
How do I
don't know. I gotta look back into it. I saw it on Reddit and I was like, holy moly, that's incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah, I want that. I want to watch the video while I know who is playing. That sounds great.
It does. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll have to get to that.
It needs a high quality interface though of some kind, right?
It does need a high... Maybe there is one. I actually didn't get that far to like... I don't know if you have to build it yourself. Whatever.
You could ask robots to build you one.
Absolutely. That's what I do all day.
Right. Here, robots, watch this. Joey says, after horology, doing that at altitude puts the fucking aerobic capacity to the test. And drink.
Doing that at altitude, I'll tell you what, puts the fucking aerobic capacity to the test.
Take a drink. Oh, man. I was explaining this bad word to sentence ratio thing to my wife and child. And it's like, I thought maybe I was exaggerating, like that it's just a bit that we're doing, but absolutely not. This man cannot speak a sentence on stage without cursing.
No, he fucking can't.
Oh, One Night Everywhere. O-N-E.
Stew on the banana. Do we have a name for Joey's like big chonky microtonal guitar?
Dickhead.
The dickhead. Yeah, I think so. Due to the sticker / piece of painter's tape on it that says dickhead. And a small picture of Joey playing the dickhead on the dickhead.
That's right.
It's wonderful. It's, little sticker.
Who knows how far down it goes?
I tried to zoom in. I don't know.
No, I mean and the dickhead.
Right, all the way to the ground.
Yeah, that sticker's been on there for a long time now.
It could be replaced by an even more recursive sticker, because you would have to keep making new ones.
Oh, the dickhead sticker. But yeah, maybe both of them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Does it say dickhead on the... Yes. Right. Yes. That's right. Hasn't always been... Is that one that he played before it was microtonal? Was that changed to become a microtonal guitar?
Oh, I do not know.
I think there are older... There's older footage of him playing what sure looks like that guitar, but it's not microtonal yet.
That could be. Yeah, maybe he just likes it so much. The question is, did it say dickhead before it was microtonal?
I don't know.
I need you to find out.
Checking. Says here, I don't know. See, I fucking told you.
Good point. Nuclear fusion.
Joey does the intro himself.
Joey does
the
very intro
long nuclear.
Yeah.
with Stu putting a gator hat on Joey.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. A very unclear nuclear fusion. I don't know what he's saying, even though in theory, I know what he's saying. But yes, great song. Such a fucking good song.
Another piece of unknown history that needs to be researched is, when did they start bringing fans on stage to do this? I don't actually know.
Well, he mentioned that someone else had done it in the last show, but fuck it, he's going to do it in this one.
I thought he said he mentioned people on the crew.
Maybe. And he gives the audience the choice of whether he would do it or someone else do it.
Right.
And I can't tell how they voted. We're looking into whether or not the votes were tampered with in any way.
Very strongly. Nuclear
how
fusion.
Much is known?
None of it. All of it? No. Most of it? All is known. Some nice gratitude. Gratitude from Joey and Stu for being able to play Red Rocks.
Yo, it's such a spin out to play these songs that we recorded at home to this many people. It's seriously so fucking weird and awesome. I love you so much.
This venue, honestly, even though we're fucking from the outback and shit, this venue, we've all never thought we'd play here. I was watching live fucking videos at Red Rocks and like Incubus and shit when I was a teenager. What the fuck are we doing here? But thank you for coming to see us!
It's nice. I mean, they're always so appreciative, like at every show.
Yes. Grew up watching bands like Incubus play there. Not who I would have picked. I mean, of all in the history of bands at Red Rocks.
Who would you pick? You two?
I mean, the Beatles.
I don't think they played Red Rocks.
But they did, though.
When? I mean, I'm a Beatles fan. I had no idea.
August 26th, 1964.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was out of the town for that one.
That's right.
August 1964. Man, I have never seen footage of that.
Only stop on the tour that did not sell out, with roughly 7,000 fans in the 9,000 seats.
That's crazy.
Featured a 12-song set notable for security concerns over death threats.
12-song set, each song 2.5 minutes. That's not very long.
No.
See, you gotta also remember that Denver at the time was nothing
right.
in 1964.
Yeah. Ryan Morrison was a much bigger town at the time.
I think my first exposure to Red Rocks was from U2, you know, from that music video.
Oh, I don't know. The Dead played there a lot, but we know that Giz are not Dead fans, per se.
Well, Under a Blood Red Sky, they're like U2's video movie was from there.
You couldn't even see the Red Rocks under a blood red sky.
No, everything just looks the same.
Just fades into the horizon.
Literally monotonous.
It is literal.
Straws in the wind. So this is where Stu starts messing with Cabs' roto-toms.
Right, he rotos them.
Yeah, the titular roto.
I noticed both Stu and Joey capoing. It's interesting. My the guitar player in my band had never seen a capo before he saw my stupid singing ass using one all the time.
Sorry,
and
the guitar player in your band had never seen a capo?
I think he was aware of them, but he was sort of offended when I showed him what it did.
I understand that. It's almost cheating.
That was his position in the matter. But it's cool to see the band uses the hell out of them. Stewie and Joey both capoed here. I guess maybe zeroing in for Ambi's range.
Mm-hmm. He's just another prawn in the game.
He is playing with his vocal pedals. He crouches to play guitar. I know the guitar is very heavy. We've established that in earlier episodes. But I think also he's got a heavy microphone that he uses sometimes.
Did we say that Ambrose is playing the banana?
Is he already? I didn't notice him pick it up until later, until November.
Okay, you might be right. I did notice some nuns in the crowd.
There were some nuns in the crowd.
Yeah, in the first row. Two or three, very masculine nuns.
Cool, right on. Chicks are all right.
I'd suck your straw any day of the week.
Yeah, Red Rocks definitely needs to go back to call and response school. Ambi tries to get some call and response out of the crowd, but I'm not impressed with how it went.
Honestly, the Straws on the Wind call and response rarely goes well. It really doesn't. He keeps trying.
Good, why stop now?
The vibe at Red Rocks is weird. Like I said, it's very steep. There's a lot of space between each row, so everything's really spaced out. It's hard to get that nice, I don't know, like that pit vibe where everyone's in it together. So I think maybe people are a little reluctant.
That makes sense.
Also the altitude.
Hey, Nicholas Craig. Does anyone like goblins?
Now it's cookies time. Nicholas Craig.
Shit.
What are you doing to me, man? Does anyone like goblins?
Oh.
Gliden!
Onwards, mortals.
Onwards! Ready, Kev?
Why?
Seize the day.
Why Nicholas Craig?
That's his name.
Nicholas. Really? Cook is a classic. I really never knew that.
Yeah. His name is Nicholas.
Uh-huh. So I guess Nick and Cook are the two most common nicknames for Nicholas.
Cook in Australian means Nicholas.
Are you shitting me right now?
Yes, I am. Of course. But come on.
I mean, it's super plausible.
If like Betty can be Elizabeth, then yes, absolutely. Cook can be Nicholas.
It struck me as very fucking plausible.
You know how they do things. A few bickies too many.
Mm-hmm. Joey playing lead synth on Garden Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicholas Craig playing rhythm synth.
Because no one wants to touch that filthy piss synth.
Agreed.
Then we get a 19-minute river.
Don't mind if I do. A fucking excellent river.
Absolutely. Excellent river. Good, nasty, a nice fuck from Stu. Yeah, boy, from Ambrose.
Stu and the Samurai, hell of a jam. Stu with some magma teasing. Stu with some wah-wahs into some wah-wah jam.
Mm-hmm.
Ambi somehow sounds like he's playing two harmonicas, like a minute from the end, maybe some sort of just like tight delay.
Just that good.
Yeah, he might be playing a couple. He might have a harmonica under his harmonica that you just can't see because of the bigger harmonica.
He might have a pants harmonica.
Is this, in this metaphor, is the fish the tree? Well, if you're going to tease magma, you might as well play magma.
That happens a few times in this run of shows where they tease a thing and then they play the thing. And I don't know if you could almost call it a warm-up jam.
Ice Death is released on the 7th of October of this year. So it's the brand spanking new album. And it's a very tight fucking magma.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Nasty. Stu's call. Good build up. A strong ending. Not super long.
No. But Stu, band leading, calling the shots already. A rumble, Stu explains to the band.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if like another band would consider it unprofessional for someone to conduct verbally, but I like it.
I super liked it.
Calling key changes, calling sections. Why not, man? I really like their looseness.
Yes, though I think this is a tighter version of that particular song.
Yes, yeah, I think so. I think it's matured quite a bit, and I like where it's gone since this time.
Same.
Yeah. Then they take a set break and they play Laminated Denim on the PA system, which debuted.
Yeah. Joey, new shit about to drop right now. Laminated Denim and Drink.
Amazing. That would have been a real treat. That'd be cool to experience something like that.
Yeah.
Second set opens with Rattlesnake. I think this is really when the run gets fun.
Yeah. Another close runner-up for Drip of the Day is Ambi wearing the Vibroslap on his right arm.
I don't think I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. The Vibroslap that according to Stu in his interview with Jello, is the only real impetus for the song, as opposed to whatever other tea leaves Jello has tried to read into the lyrics.
Again, the looseness, and not everything is everything.
It's not. Not even everything is everything.
The rattlesnake.
Unusually tight.
The rattlesnake?
Yeah, I thought. Tight. This particular rattlesnake.
But
yeah,
a series of quotes and teases. One Night Everywhere, Automation, Honey, Minimum Brain Size, Sleep Drifter, all inside the rattlesnake.
Honestly, as good a rattlesnake as I'm aware of. Just, yeah, very broad, as you said, like microtonal medley.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool also because, as we've discussed before, Stu talks about this song as a way of starting the Flying Microtonal Banana album to get people into the vibe of a microtonal scale. So it's fun that they're jumping out of that scale into a buffet of other microtonal songs.
Mm-hmm. It was like the supposed to be the entry for people's brains into microtonal.
Yeah.
Automation.
Join the last migration. It's fun. Fuck the system.
Fuck the system.
Your new best mate is great. King of bald primate, we are not worthy of our heir's glory. Mental rotation for the overlord. I think it has something. I think it's about rototoms. Apparently, originally made as a rat's nest song.
Whoa! Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do know this.
But it came out before Rat's Nest, didn't it?
No,
oh, okay.
It did not. No, it's on demos. In the in-between times.
Oh, no, you're right. It came out 2020, right. Rat's Nest was 19.
Sold.
Good.
Worked
good.
Not a penny more, you son of a bitch.
Goes into Honey. Wonderful.
Honey, I like this song a lot. Yeah.
Had some quick teases of Sleep Drifter and Billabong Valley in it. And something happened to Stu's mic, I guess, at this point, because I see someone run on stage. Nothing is missed, as far as I can tell. But someone runs on stage, and then Stu says, okay, we're back.
You should have heard what would have happened that we didn't hear.
Well, another drop of Bluegrass album.
It all happened in that moment, but we had to wait this many years to still have not heard it. I know, yeah. During Sleep Drifter, which came next, I really contemplated what it would be like to shake a tambourine while playing a harmonica. And I'm confident that I wouldn't do it well.
Maybe if you had a capo.
On the harmonica.
Either one. Or just on you. On your...
Yes, on my person. Yeah. A vibra slap on
your
my
lucky
right arm.
Capo.
I forget which one of mine is lucky.
I got one right here.
There it is. Is that your lucky one?
Yeah.
Hey, that's my lucky capo. Fucker.
Sorry. I use it for adult things.
Yeah.
Sleep Drifter was followed by Ataraxia.
Joey's soul writing credit and mixed by Joey alone, apparently.
What's it about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I've looked this up before.
Totally.
What does the fucking word mean?
A state of tranquility freed from trouble or stress.
I don't know.
I'm glad we cleared that up. This is the kind of podcasting people come here for, and this is why we get all those letters.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I have a note here that says, I'm just going to read this to you. Someone who wrote this, Joey screaming the microphone at the end wall with the pedals or the knobs, I guess. I literally wrote that.
Oh, my God.
To which Joey responds, to Joey screaming? I don't know. Thanks, Helen. Now we have to go back and talk about Hell's Itch.
I don't know. I don't know if I had just had an episode or you did, or maybe both of us. What just happened?
Well, Hell's Itch, which is not played today, we had a conversation about Hell's Itch and who the fuck Helen is.
No, of course, yeah.
Ambie is Helen.
Fuck off.
And yeah, right. And in fact, Ambrose says at the end of this, yeah, Red. And apparently he calls Joey Red because Joey is very pale and sunburns easily. to which Joey responds, thanks, Helen. This is thanks to user Amicus Cure 8 on the Reddits, who's quoting from somewhere else. Ambie calls Joey Red because he gets sunburned quite easily. Hell's Itch tackles the subject. We hear Joey say at Red Rocks, 23 after Shanghai. And then Helen has something to do with Ambie has all sisters, lots of aunts and females in his family. So when his mom was pregnant, they thought he'd probably be a female. And Helen was maybe the planned name for him, or not. The user mentions that they might be making this up, but then also says that his sisters used to dress him up when he was younger and call him Helen. So it's kind of like Ambie's alternate, more feminine persona.
Mm.
And then mm-hmm. Joey being married to Edith,
mm-hmm.
Ambie's sister, would explain why he has this mm-hmm. more intimate knowledge mm-hmm. of Ambie's deeper feminine persona.
Yeah, he's like his big brother. Or
he is.
Little sister. Well, look at me now, Helen.
I think so.
Wow. Thank you for this research that could be completely made up.
Yeah. fuck yeah. I mean, anytime, my man.
Anytime. You did the research. It's not your fault if someone made it up.
No, it's not. I mean, we will eventually cover Billabong Valley again, and if you'd like me to once again very likely erroneously claim that Broderick Smith was on a TV show about Mad Dog Morgan, which may or may not have been true, I'll say it again.
And that is anorexia.
Let's see if I can remember this one.
Evil death row?
Yeah, says Stu, who cannot.
See if we can remember this one. And you fucked it up.
I can't remember it.
And you fucked it up. And you fucked it already.
And you fucked
Joey.
It up.
You fucked it already. And drink.
Yeah, cute. Good stuff. Evil death roll. A couple, some extra counting in the middle of it, I noticed. I like evil death roll.
Red Rock. Do they have a, is it just windy up there, or do they have a wind machine? I call it a wind machine. Some people call it a fan. Mm. I don't prefer that name.
I think it is windy.
I think it's windy.
Yeah. October, November, and it's 6,000 feet. We see on the third night, which is in November, that there are large tubes on the stage, which are heating ducts. They're blowing hot air on the band.
Oh, as it were. It just, I like a good rock wind. And that maybe, you know, it reminds me of like beetle hair in...
Oh, rock and roll wind.
Yes, rock okay. wind. Well, both. I mean, it's red rock wind.
Mm-hmm.
The red rock winds just look fucking epic. I think of the Beatles on the roof of Apple Studios. And I don't know, it just looks very fucking rock epic.
Yeah, it is epic. Yeah. Evil Death Roll is followed by a 10-minute Ice 5. Ambie says, it's time to shake those money makers.
It's time to shake those money makers!
Red. So I think I've mentioned to you that my 8-year-old daughter is now genuinely into Giz, and I have not pushed it on her. She plays it in her room by herself, and I honestly think that Ice 5 might be the reason I showed my daughter and my wife the Ice 5 video, and I think it might have awakened something in my child.
Oh,
as it does
nice.
For many.
As it does for many. Because yeah,
she
for
now
many,
knows. At, you know, Ice 5 is not a short song. The studio cut is 7-8 minutes. But she knows when we listen to it in the car, Joey is doing this thing with his hips at this point. And God bless her. Joey, yeah. Stay away from my daughter.
That was going to be my next question, is how you would feel if she brought home a cursing sunburned man.
Could be now.
You know, just tell the story or don't, Raconteur.
Everyone, Leah Senior, aka the Balrog.
Ah, yeah, Leah Senior. This is cool. I think they refer to her as the best singer, which I looked up, her, you know, I listened to some of her music, and she is certainly the best singer of all the people on stage.
I think at one point they also referred to her as the original Balrog.
The original Balrog. How do you feel about that?
How does J.R.R. Tolkien feel about that?
There is a secret I've been keeping. A story true and genuine. And I have not the candid heart to keep its burden clandestine. For its gravity is as weighty as a mountain capped in snow. And its memory repeats inside of me. Ostinato.
This is cool that she was there. I actually didn't check. Did she open for them at Red Rocks? Is that why she was there?
She did.
Okay.
Is it why she was there, or is this why she opened?
Okay.
Has come to be one of my favorite suites.
The Reticent Raconteur, Lord of Lightning, the Balrog. It's intense.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so fucking great.
I think Ambrose still has the drip of the day, but Leah Senior is wearing a really cool, like, architectural jacket, like white with black piping. It's nice.
Yeah, it's like a serious art jacket.
It's like mod, like a mod thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry
mm-hmm.
to interrupt you.
No, don't be. Related, someone recently called this album Murder of the Universe prog metal. And then I was wondering if it's more like prog punk, or if progditude is illegal to the rules of punk.
Oh, that's interesting. I do think progditude might be illegal in punk.
Mm, okay, fair enough.
I think punk was partially reaction to prog in the mid-70s.
Okay, so it's like prog is regressive rock.
I think part of the idea is to go back to roots, yeah.
Okay, that's a complicated way of saying yes, but I'll take it.
Oh, did I say yes?
You said yeah, technically, which is an uncomplicated way of saying, it's a regressive way of saying yes.
An incredible transition from Balrog into Trapdoor.
Mm, yeah.
During Trapdoor, Stu really dancing in place, like he loves the music that he has written with his friends.
Yeah, Stu really likes to run in place when he's holding a flute.
Mm-hmm. We were recently watching at my house, at my daughter's request, Lithuania Night 3, when Ignis comes to play guitar, and Stu just doesn't know what to do with his body.
Mm-mm, frontman Stu.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Speaking of Stu holding a flute while running in place.
Hot water.
Ambi squatting and adjusting pedals. It's like shoegaze music, but it's like glove gaze music, but they're not wearing gloves. But Stu's not wearing shoes.
He's not?
Not typically.
Oh.
He must be.
At no point did he remove his shoes during the Red Rocks shows.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know. I'm sorry, everyone.
Sorry, Stu.
But I will point you back to one of the videos in the Billy String stuff where Stu has a shaker on his bare foot that he's shaking and singing with.
Yeah, he does.
Get a photo of that.
Oh, winky feet.
In that one, Cavs is holding a mandolin.
I'm not sure if it's a mandolin. It might be a tiny, like a child guitar, because I see that Lucas is also holding a child instrument.
A child as an instrument?
Mm.
You just squeeze them and they squeal.
It's true. Tones. It works. It works.
It does. I do it all the time.
You get some shots for the band before Grim Reaper.
Don't mind if I do. Happy birthday, Lisa, or happy birthday, Joey, to the tune of Happy Birthday, Lisa.
That's what I hear.
I think that's entirely correct.
Hey, cheers to Joey's birthday. It's his Australian birthday now, and it's his American birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, those coming tomorrow.
Joey, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Joey.
And Ambi says, I love my brother-in-law, to which Joey responds, I love you, baby Helen.
I love my brother-in-law. All right.
I love you, baby Helen.
That I just noticed we're going to do some weird-ass satanic rap for you.
He did mention something about that.
Helen, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Look at her now.
Yes, Ambi climbing up to the rail to hang with the crowd, which has basically become a canonical part of the song.
Yeah, he's in the ADA area.
Yeah, she probably shouldn't do that. Joey on Zygote Nathan. Stu on the Flying A. It's got to be a better name for that, but that's why I'm not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, looks a little silly. Like they had those airplanes in the 80s, like the swept with the swept back wings, and there's a reason you don't see them anymore.
Grim Reaper was followed by the last song of the night. It wasn't planned to be the last song of the night, Planet B, because Venusian 2 and Am I in Heaven were on the set list.
Yes, but someone says in my ears to turn the PA off 5 minutes earlier, says Stu. So let's play one more tune and one more tune the PA off and go to bed.
That's how I send my children to bed.
Yeah, I was always taught, I very wrongly, not to get a child riled, but like you're supposed to have this like sweet, like settle into bed, like you start by whatever, playing music, turning the music down, reading, like gently put a kid to bed. And it's just like never how it went in my house. We get fucking nuts and we have what we call lion fighting,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like man wrestling time to bed as mm-hmm. like our go to bed ritual. And yeah, I read an article somewhere recently that said, no, absolutely, this is an even better way to put your kid to bed, or an important way for many kids to put them to bed, is by getting their last bit of energy out. So, you know, Stu, Papa Stu takes care of us all.
I'm skeptical, whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I can't. I've seen your kid fail to go to bed for hours on end.
Yeah, dude.
So you're not exactly the master of the technique.
I'm not saying I'm doing it right. I'm just saying I'm doing it wrong.
Well, it's a hard position to argue with. I mean, I like your way for my sake. It's funny.
The next night, October 11th, 2022, opens with Dripping Tap. Big, fast.
Yeah.
And then a birthday celebration for Joey with his kid and Edith.
Yeah, right.
And cake.
And another lady?
Yes. And
one of the sisters,
lady.
Maybe?
I don't know. I couldn't tell who that was.
Happy birthday, man.
So Joey's a October 11th. Joey's a Libra. We both married Libras. Did you know that?
Wow. That's fascinating. I've had so many Libras in my life, and I also feel funny watching Ice Five. So what could it mean?
Yeah, we got a type.
Yeah, I guess so. Ambi back in the sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie in a New Orleans French Quarter shirt. Love tucked it. Into black jeans with a belt.
That New Orleans shirt is straight out of a Goodwill bin.
Yeah, very
absolutely.
Much so. These guys, they really like America. Yeah. I do believe. I know, I kind of want to cry about it.
I mean, I do too, a lot of the time.
I know, that's what makes me want to cry, because we're so awful, but it'd be so nice to be able to enjoy us.
I'm so proud of so much of America, but not proud of so much of America.
Totally. Cavs is proud of Ireland in his Ireland soccer / football jersey.
Totally,
football.
Yeah. Looking good.
Yes. Football with two O's meaning soccer, as opposed to football with a U meaning soccer. Are Fender straps just like amazing? Like, do they have special qualities? Does the band get them for free?
Fender straps? I don't know.
Yeah, just like they always have the same Fender strap. All of them, all the time.
They must be super comfortable.
I don't know if that has to be the answer.
No, why not?
What a tap. What a, such a fucking great dripping tap, and what a great way to start a show.
Mm-hmm. About 15 minutes, followed by a 9-minute Gaia. Stu, yeah, back on the Rototoms.
Yes. Stu on A, Joey on B. Stu dutifully goes over to Tom rotation duty. Stays on background rhythm for a little while before having a seat and just listening to a nice long drum solo.
Who does? What?
Cavs gets his Gaia solo. And for a little while, the band stays on background, plays rhythm with him before just having a seat and sitting at his feet in justified awe.
Mm-hmm. More metal. Predator X.
Tell me if I do. Maybe a quick perihelion tease.
Uh-huh. Organ Farmer.
What? I stand by my statement that this is one of, if not the gnarliest song on the album.
In sound and content, perhaps.
Correct, exactly. Delicatessen, blech.
It's really good. It is fun. Followed by Plura. It's my birthday, says Joey.
It's my birthday. Right, instead of...
Fuck Donald Trump or whatever.
Yeah, right. Fuck whatever obscure Australian...
some local Morrison parliamentarian.
Yeah.
Like the mayor of Morrison.
It's my birthday.
I'm telling you, Joey's the funniest one. He's a very funny band.
They're a very funny band, and he's a very funny man. I really love Lukey's bass tone. Ends with fuck music? Who says fuck music?
No, he says rock music. Joey says rock music. Rock music.
You can understand why I would think he said the other thing.
I think he's referring to the Rocks at Red Rocks and not rock and roll in this case.
Fuck music. I
fuck
see.
Fuck music.
That makes sense. Almost certainly is what he means.
Followed by Odd Life, which was introduced as Cookie's favorite song.
Yes, right. Not the only time we've heard that.
This next song is Cookie's favorite song. Hell yeah, Dougie!
Did you notice that Lucas was playing his microtonal bass on this?
I didn't notice that.
And I didn't notice that it's a 5-string, his microtonal bass.
Oh, that's cool.
I
yeah.
don't really know how a 5-string bass is tuned. Is it all in fourths? Maybe it's all in fourths. You find out. Thank you.
It says here. No, it doesn't say anything.
Good. Good work.
Wait. Let me check. That turns out I'm not looking anywhere, really.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. No. This is going on your performance review.
Good.
Odd Life goes into Doom City.
Right. Yes.
So I have my only electric guitar is a Fender Stratocaster that is yellow, but not the same as the banana yellow. It's like it's a buttercream is what Fender calls it.
I would agree. What do you think, audience?
And I was trying to come up with, you know, there's a Flying Microtonal Banana is my guitar. I don't know, like a walking macrotonal durian or like, what is this?
Let's see. For the viewers listening, the professor is holding up a banana pudding colored. I see banana pudding. There's a white pickguard on there, reminiscent of whipped cream that you might put on top of the banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
You know the banana pudding that's got, like, speaking of the good things about American culture, vanilla wafers in it?
I'm hungry.
Fuck, that shit is so good. Woo, America! Little pink houses for you and me, baby.
Doom City. Doom.
Doom City.
Doom Country.
Yeah. Anyway, great song. I mean, I don't mean to immediately segue into the next song, but I just want to say it's such a wonderful pairing to KGLW. It has a lot of similar, like, cool, dark, microtony tones.
Crunchy and, microtones.
It hasn't happened a lot. Maybe five times before, including before or after that they've been paired together.
Doom City to KGLW? Huh.
Or KGLW to Doom City.
I see.
Either. Combined to five.
Wow.
Which makes it half as much, if you think about it.
Could, but I won't.
One could. Don't. Seems like a waste of our time. I don't really understand the cue to come in at the end of Cav's intro. Thump, 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 thump. Like, I don't know, like, how the fuck they know when to come in. Thump, 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 thump.
Oh, yes.
They know when to come in.
Yeah.
But how would you know? They're not counting thump thumps.
They might be.
Too many thump thumps. I guess they might be, but they know. Turn it up, Sammy. Such a weird band. Did I ever mention I love this song? Fuck, I love this song. So central to what I love about Giz.
I've been playing it on my banana pudding.
Ah! Really?
Without, you know, macrotonally, though. And it works.
Yeah, in as a major. KGLW.
KGLW. Bill Murray in SNL as the crooner.
Yeah.
Star Wars, nothing but KGLW. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it.
This was followed by a huge Boogeyman Sam.
Ambi's harmonica pedal effect or whatever here is so Stonesy, very Mick Jagger.
His harmonica work on this is really good, like really good. I was noticing it's subtle, it's intricate, like amazing.
Mick Jagger is an underappreciated harmonica player.
And he will remain that way in my mind.
He's fucking good. He's a really fucking good harmonica player.
Okay.
And there's a similar sound here. Drop D tuning, right? This is it is drop D tuning. So you just basically the same deal, but you're tuning your E. The I always forget. I guess you call it the bottom. It always bothered me that you call it the bottom. You call it the top, but the one closest to you.
Because
it's lower. So why would you call it the top?
The string, right?
You can. That's nice. That's, you know, it's better for your relationships in the long run. Keeps things interesting.
There was a lot going on in this Boogeyman Sam. Ambrose going so. My Babe, which is a song by Little Walter, a harmonica dude from way back. And then Got My Mojo Working, which I know as a Muddy Waters song.
Yeah, who's Ann Cole?
Ann Cole was the person who originally recorded it. She didn't write it, though. And then a very, like, different Going Up to the Country by Canned Heat. You know this one?
I don't.
I think it was made famous in, like, the Woodstock documentary. Going to the country, that one.
Oh, of course, I'm going to the country.
Maybe don't you want to go. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Of course. Thanks.
But it's different when it's inside of Boogeyman Sam, when it's inside of him.
Is he the harmonica in this case?
This was followed by Sleepwalker, which an incredible transition.
Yeah.
Into Sleepwalker.
I say Sleepwalker.
It's a great song. Lighthearted, has like a very like early Giz feel.
These two songs, Sleepwalker and the following one, Sea of Trees, feel very poppy to me.
Yeah, right. And that's a very, just like a very Gizzy thing to have such a poppy song. I mean, sorry, segueing into Sea of Trees about something so fucked up, which they play, I mean, pretty rare Sea of Trees. KGLW.net says once every 34 shows. I'm gonna read to you this thing that I don't know where I got it from, so
here we go again. By the way, they said that Sea of Trees was originally what the band was called,
right?
And that, yeah, it's Lucas's favorite song,
right? But they changed the band because it was ominous, dark.
Go on.
Because in Yamanashi Prefecture in Japan, right next to Mount Fuji, where I just was a couple months ago, is a 30-kilometer wide forest known as Aokigahara or something. Aokigahara, or the Sea of Trees. Despite the forest's scenic beauty, Aokigahara is infamous for the number of suicides that happen there. Specific numbers are hard to come by, but thousands have taken their lives there over the years, becoming a notorious location referenced in films like The Forest, as well as books such as Nami no To, Tower of Waves, often reported as the novel that led to the trend. In 2012, The Forest would become the topic of a short, emotional garage rock song by a little band by the name of
Sea of Trees.
Never heard of them. Anyway, yeah, so there.
Wow. It sounds like a Green Day song to me.
Yeah, but it's a fucked up little song. And there was a lyric change over time. So the original 12-bar bruise pressing has liner notes with a final original line that says, "And when you're feeling suicidal, sometimes you have to end it." And then for the 2018 reissue, there are new liner notes that replace that with, "And when you're feeling suicidal, sometimes you just have to unfold." But in this version, you just have to end it.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Oh, hell, I'm feeling underwater. My head is sinking like a stone. And hell, I'm feeling sick like a prick. I don't know what's the use in it. And when you're feeling suicidal, sometimes you just have to unfold. No, you have to end it. Yeah, song about, you know, going out one's way, as it were.
Again. This was followed by The Bitter Boogie. Got slow, it low, faded out into the end of the first set.
Peter. Video shows a moon, full moon through the crowd, clouds on the video version that you can find on the YouTube nets. By the way, what a mess trying to watch this on YouTube. There are playlists that exist. I think, right, we even have one.
There's one that has everything that was videoed.
Right. Yeah. But it's pieced together by different users. So there was a complete video made at some point, and there are even little chyrons that pop up every now and then.
Totally. My guess is this was like a pay per view thing on some service.
Right. I would pay.
Per?
Sure. I wouldn't prefer that.
View. Okay. That was the end of the first set. They played Hypertension on the PA at the set break. Which was the debut.
Dude. It's so cool. Must have
We're
been
only
so
halfway
cool.
through this run of shows, fucker.
Jesus, that can't be right.
What are we doing?
Okay. All right. Hurry
Marathon,
up.
Marathon, indeed.
There's a big red countdown clock to start the next set, and they start exactly on zero with
That's
Perihelion.
Impressive.
It is.
Perihelion. A one-off metal song to start the first, second set.
Yes. Into I'm In Your Mind, which is not at all a metal song.
No.
Though Joey and Stu are still on the ANV that they were playing metal on. And is it slightly thrashier, mind sweet? A little extra distortion here, maybe?
Yes. I think it is. I think agree. There's some dissonance. There's an alter me tease.
Yeah.
To start all this sweet, I think Joey says, let's have a dance party. Gladly, sir.
Oh my God, with that man? Totally. He can lead.
I like that one part where he does that thing with his hips.
Where exactly in the song is that?
Oh, it wasn't in the song.
Oh, damn. Just great. I mean, this suite is the fucking, the greatest also. Just
It's the greatest.
Prime
I feel like
is like fun.
Absolutely like strong. You could bring someone to a show who'd never heard of Gizz before, and if they open the show with this, that person, whoever they are, would be like, absolutely, this band is great.
Fuck yeah. Obviously, in case we didn't say, I'm in your mind, I'm not in your mind, cellophane, I'm in your mind, fuzz.
Fuzz. Followed by Tazetta.
Cool. Yeah.
This is the last time it was played. It has not been played since.
Fuck.
This is, I'm familiar with this word as a term in Ethiopian jazz music, and then apparently it does mean that in this case too.
It does. It's a scale?
What? Is it
a
scale?
It's a scale.
No.
It's a scale. Yeah.
Which explains
Ethiopian scale.
Explains the lyrics. Everything that lives and dies is a hologram. Nothing is as real as that. Come here, boy. Are you God? I am that which I am. So there you go.
So that's, you just drop the A to... Yep,
totally.
Yeah, that's how I read that as well.
It's a Mixolydian drop D.
Right. Which, of course, is a natural segue into bringing Leah Sr. back on stage for an Altered Beast suite, starting with A New World.
A New
the
World.
The original Balrog.
She's back. The best singer
She's
on the
back.
Stage.
As soon as the dust settles, you can see a new world in place of where the old one has been.
Almost the full suite. A New World, Altered Beast 1, Alter Me 1, Altered Beast 2, Alter Me 2, Altered Beast 3, Ambergris? Full suite. They come back and play the rest of it.
Yeah. Hadn't been played for a while. I mean, Alter Me 2 and Altered Beast 3 were played for the first time since 2019. 90 show gap for them.
I think it's super cool to have these narrations. What a fun thing. And you wouldn't want to do it every show?
No.
I don't think. I mean, they do that
I don't,
with Murder of the
I don't
Universe.
Want to have to. They do. Yes.
But it's cool to have her on stage. She's given it. She's acting. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Ambergris. Joey says, let's get funky. And so they do.
Weird waxy shit from a whale's ass. No, what part of a whale produces ambergris?
I think it's in the stomach.
Stomach.
Is it?
Okay, but it's got to come, if it's in from the stomach, is it from the ass? Or you have to get it while it's in the stomach. In this, am I the tree in this scenario?
Yes, right. Okay. You're the tree and the urethra.
You don't want a whale to fucking swim up that thing. People
know.
Do. I mean, sorry, I take it back. I'm
right.
sorry.
I don't, but you
right.
do.
I do, right. Thank you. Muddy Water.
Muddy Water with a little lead saxophone.
As Joey says, sometimes when you jam, it's shit. Sometimes it's good. In our case, it was good. And drink.
Sometimes when you jam, it's shit. Sometimes when you jam, it's good. In our case, it's always good.
I appreciate that honesty. Iron Lung follows Muddy Water.
Want some hot buns?
Hot
want
buns.
Some hot buns.
I don't
want some
understand.
Hot buns. Want some hot buns?
Yeah. How's everyone feeling? Warmed up? Keeping them tushes nice and toasty. Let's get them lungs nice and toasty. Motherfucker. I want some hot buns. I want some hot buns.
This was a big and fierce Iron Lung. This was wonderful.
I mean, listen, I just KGLW.net. What's his name? What's the dude's name?
Timeland is wacky. This?
Timeland is wacky. God bless you. I mean, I'm forever grateful to you, and please stay in my life. And, you know, I'm just like, it's not a critique. It's just like a conversation. The intro to Iron Lung featured additional vocals about hot buns. It just says, I want some hot... I guess that's about hot buns.
Absolutely.
But it's not... Is it? Yeah. I want hot buns is a lyric about hot buns. But that's all he says. But yeah, no, it's correct. Inarguable.
It's correct.
How about Robot Stop? I mean, where else are you going to put it?
I don't know. This starts 25 minutes of perfect music.
Got any more of that Don Perignon? says Joey.
Robot Stop had hot water teases at the beginning.
That long jam section starts with like a build-up jam into some Nonagon Infinity, and then fat long jam session, some hot waters into Gamma Knife. Classic to the song. I just always love and continue to love Cavs. Flourishes on the back end jam. Just a bunch of little Kev flourishes. This is a part of the song. This is not anyone noticing this for the first time. Just like it is all.
Have you ever looped the album?
I have not.
Thank you.
But it doesn't seem... I mean, it doesn't seem like that tight, per se. Like, it's fine. Like, you could start it from anywhere, but it still is like It still is like the first song would still be another song.
It would be, but the end of it is supposed... I've never tried it.
Okay.
I think it'd be a little jilting.
It's still Joey's birthday, so he signals for an extra for a little extra beverage support during People Vultures.
Yeah,
into your buddy, Mr. Beat, your personal friend.
So I don't know if Mr. Beat ended... If there's like an Iron Lung reprise, or it's just part of Mr. Beat, but they kind of go back into Iron Lung right after Mr. Beat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we've been in Iron Lung to Mr. Beat all along.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, with a, you know, Mr. Beat to Field of Vision to Iron Lung to Mr. Beat. To
Gladly.
Field of Vision.
Yep. I hope we get an Iron Lung this summer. And I also wouldn't mind if it always ended with Silly String on Joey, being sprayed
wouldn't
all over Joey.
All. And Joey says it's the best show they've ever done,
which
might have been true then. I mean, it raises that question again.
It's a question I want to try to answer after... This next show. This was November 2nd, so several weeks.
But wait a minute, why are we covering this as part of the same episode? Why would we do this to ourselves?
Because the band thinks of it as one show, I guess. They release it as one thing. I don't know.
And so shall we. Still got to talk about Drip. You're not going to get out of it.
This
Ambi in sorry.
Absolutely a Nazi leather jacket. A Nazi doctor leather jacket. This man is ready to open the Ark of the Covenant and have his face melted. That is a Nazi leather jacket.
Yeah. Would you call that a half trench? Or no, you'd call it Nazi leather.
Nazi leather jacket.
You do
huge.
Not want to know where Nazi leather comes
black
from.
Black leather jacket with huge lapels. Ambrose. Yeah. Ambrose, what are you doing?
It's chilly.
Okay. What's wrong with a good old cardigan?
Didn't Hugo Voss make their uniforms?
I think for the SS, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great people on both sides. on both sides.
Meaning the Russians and the Americans on both sides of Germany.
Both sides of Germany. Aunt B, underneath that, though, he's wearing a black Western-style shirt with red embroidery and red buttons. What's the ring on his middle finger there? Is he always wearing that? He's got a big blue sapphire on there that I
did
just
not
hadn't noticed
that.
Before.
No.
Joey in a blue t-shirt with gold chains on the outside as usual, tucked into khaki slacks with rolled cuffs, looking fantastic. Lucas likes to roll the bottom of his jeans up, especially with boots in his, what did you call that kind of shirt again that you have since
Short
put
coat.
Away? Short coat?
Chore. I'm going to do Short some coat. Chores.
Oh God, he's choking. Quick, call his family.
Oh God.
Yeah. What is the, he's got a shirt underneath. And I can't say for sure whether it could be a band shirt.
I don't know. Sorry.
I know. I can't say either. What shirt is Cookie wearing? I tried to find its like. I'm fairly certain it is an alien shirt that says, in space, no one can hear you scream.
It could be. Again, probably from a Goodwill bin.
Almost certainly.
The show opened with Murdering the Universe, Digital Black, Kantiumi, Soy Protein, Vomit Coffin.
You forgot your confused cyborg, but that's understandable.
I don't. Oh, sorry. Yes, I have it. Forgot to do a line break.
Yes.
Something very interesting happens during Vomit Coffin.
What does happen?
Oh, damn. Ambrose just shoots a snot rocket. Just, I mean, it's lucky that it was on camera, but it is nasty. He's playing harmonica. You see that as he's playing harmonica, he's affecting his nose with his hand, and I think it knocks something loose, and he just shoots it onto the ground next to his keyboards.
Sorry, everybody. Someone's got to clean that up. I guess it's better than urine.
Someone's got to wring it out. Then blame it on the weather, which is this is a complete opposite style of music from Murdering the Universe. Maybe Joey.
It's too. That's who I'm gonna guess, but I know that it was said, but I don't remember who said it. But you're right that got said. Stewie gets the solo. Always love to see that.
This song hasn't been played in a while. It hasn't been played since early
2023. Wow. Yeah.
Followed by Work This Time. Boy, Joey made that Gibson SG sing.
Right, and the Samurai, I was thinking one of the reasons I suspect Stu loves the Samurai is the richness of the sound that it produces from above the neck and below the bridge. Yeah, and just a truly beautiful Joey solo. Jolo?
Jolo, of course Jolo, yes. And he's proud, he's honored. He's at the end, he says that was fresh to do at Red Rocks, to be honest.
To do at Red Rocks, to be honest.
That's nice.
He admits it. It was.
Of his heroes, Incubus. How cool that they followed with Lava. This was chill and spacey. I really like this Lava.
Yeah, they've only played Lava live, I think, 15 times or something. Stu and Cavs working the Rototoms together.
Cavs's drumming on this is awesome. I don't think I realized it. It's really interesting. It actually, now it reminds me of his new album stuff. Like, for some reason, I still think of him like, oh, he's the metal drummer. But no, this is intricate and subtle. And
right.
Oh, man, he's so good.
He's so good.
Band's only as good as his drummer, baby.
Stu says that the Lydian scale was hard for them, that they tend to sit on the tonic, the one in a scale, and explore it. But Lydian has a sharp four, which somehow means it's inherently floating outside of its tonic. It doesn't want you to sit on the one. And a lot of their music is muscular and strong and powerful, and Lydian is none of those things. It's like a cloud, like air, unsolid.
I agree. Lydian has a mystery to it or something. Oh, does Elfman use a lot of Lydian?
That theme is Lydian.
That's cool music. How about that? Cutthroat Boogie. Ambrose. Wow, Ambrose getting stabbed in the neck with a broken bottle?
This one's about when I was 16, I went to a party, and my friend accidentally stabbed me in the neck with a broken bottle. But we're all good now.
Yeah, man, we're all good. We worked it out.
Yeah, we worked it out. Cavs went and sorted it out.
Yeah, Cavs. Ambie says, when I was 16, a friend accidentally stabbed me in the neck at a party. Cavs says, but we're all good now. Ambie says, yeah, Cavs sorted it out.
No, I believe he might have.
Yeah. KGLW.net, on the one hand, it's the first song by King Giz sung by Ambie. Who would begin to form his identity as a frontman within King Gizzard following the song's release. It's the first song in the band's discography, perhaps not led by Stu.
Whoa, we're going to get into all that in our next episode, talking about early Giz.
We are. I'm excited about it. I've already done some preliminary research, and I'm excited about the too many roads I'm running down.
Yes, absolutely.
And just when I thought I had too many roads, you had added some notes for us to look from that made it even worse.
Oh, you saw the notes. Oh, good.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, there's so much. Yeah, we're going to talk about pre-Giz up to Willoughby's Beach, right?
Yes, that's true.
But first...
Yeah, it's interesting. It just made me think about Ambie as... It's interesting to have a front man in the band who... But only sometimes. But Ambie is the front man. But they don't always have a front man. But when they do, it's Ambie.
Man, I cannot... I feel it's reductive to compare people or genres or music, but Ambrose is so much...
So let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Ambrose and Pigpen from the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, right.
So let me explain. Best singers in the band, harmonica players, fathers were blues men, hard drinking, love kind of like improvising with lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Please don't die, Ambie.
Yeah, he's already made it past 27, so...
That's good.
We're doing good. And I've seen... Based on the color of his mucus, I think he's really healthy.
Ambie said in a YouTube live chat, Cutthroat Boogie is about me getting my throat cut. I was at a party when I was 16, and a friend broke a bottle and was being silly and grabbed me from behind, and I leant into the bottle, and the bottle cut my neck, and I was pissing out, blood was pissing out everywhere. The doctor said it was an inch from my jugular. The friend ended up hanging out with gangs, and I joined bands. The rest is history. The lyric also brings up his childhood habit of folding his ears.
Oh, I used to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Ambrose's childhood in a bit.
Yes.
Later.
We'll have to. Good. Yes, we are.
Cutthroat Boogie led into Wawa.
Yes.
I'm the chieftain of your feelings. I'm the god of air you're breathing. You cannot escape my dealing. I will make you cry.
Why?
Wah.
Why?
Why?
Wah, 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 wah. Oh, the little captain and I have a running bit about this song. He likes to say, Dad, do you want to know how Stu came up with the lyrics to the song? He was, they were working on the roof of the studio, and Stu was up there hammering in shingles for the roof, and he missed, and he hit his thumb, and he said, wah! And then that became that. But you could say any variation of something that happens, right? He was wearing some steel-toed boots, so he should have been fine. But then he took off his shoes too early in the show, and then a microphone fell on him, and he said, wah, wah! And we always talk about it. Wah, wah is introduced, I mean, kind of starts at very rivery.
Yes. Oh, it's very rivery. There's river jam in it.
Yeah. Wawa. And Road Train, which is next, are connected to the river, even though from different albums with different vibes. But it's just interesting that a Giz suite can connect disparate elements that become canonically connected.
Sadie Sorceress is next. Do I feel bad that Ambrose is my favorite? This is my favorite rap group, and Ambrose is my favorite rapper, and Stu is my second favorite rapper in the world.
Yeah, I probably. We have a mutual ornery Sicilian friend who was really upset when he heard you say that.
He heard me say that? Why did you tell him that?
I didn't tell him that he heard you. Yeah, Stu's a great rapper.
Oh, our friend loves rap, like a genuine rap fan, and I know that might be upsetting to him.
Yeah, he didn't like that much at
this
all.
This is Beastie Boys all the way.
Yeah, for sure. Joey says that was pretty weirdo-y as a band. And we said, we're pretty normal, really. Stu says, to introduce the next song, this is a normal song about setting yourself on fire.
Oh, my favorite genre of music. Songs about setting yourself on fire.
Normal songs about setting yourself on fire.
How fucking weirdo-y. Like, straight up as a band. What the fuck?
We're pretty normal, really.
But, you know, I guess the next song proves it.
Yeah. This is just some normal shit about setting yourself on fire.
Joey requested that the camera person zoom in on his face as close as possible.
Doesn't really happen.
Not really, no. But there's some Moby Dick from Zeppelin in here.
Very much so. Yeah, it's great. We better get to Her and I slow jam too.
18 minutes of it. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. It's called something about the weather in Colorado. It's going to be cold. It's supposed to be, Joey says, like -3 degrees. So what is that, like 100 Fahrenheit? 110,
Stu says. He tells the same jokes that we do.
Yeah, that's the same joke we tell a lot.
That's the same joke in this podcast that you and I have talked about.
We have.
See, I'm telling you, Joey is our man.
He's our guy. song always covers a lot of ground, and it does here.
Oh my god. Magma, Slow Jam 1, Flamethrower, Cutthroat Boogie.
Stu says, Ambi, would you play some harmonica and key change? Love this key change, which I mentioned.
Oh, it's intense. It's
most episodes.
What?
I think I mentioned most episodes, or at least in the last one.
It's a weird choice, honestly, musically.
Yeah.
Is it a whole step?
Thanks for asking.
All right. Yeah, this is a heavy, I think KGLW.net refers to it as diabolical.
Yeah, cool. Fuck yeah,
I also think it's very patient at times.
Oh, not the key change. The key change is diabolical.
Oh, meh. Yeah, sure. The jam.
Yes. It's a very impatient key change.
That, I think, is true.
I do, too. You know who would really like hot wax is...
Joe Santa.
Best sound tech ever. And hog collar.
That's right.
Did I mention I'm not a big Beach Boys fan?
No, I don't think I've heard you say that. Why? What do you... Okay. What?
I don't know. Hot wax, come on, get around. Everybody's learning how, come on in safari with me.
Oh, well, this is...
It's fine.
I don't know. Why do people close to the band keep requesting this song?
I don't know. A lot of Beach Boys fans out there. A lot of people I respect.
About semen?
The Beach Boys? I think so. That's what that means. Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Get it? Am I the fish in this metaphor?
Usually, yes. Hot wax followed by Crumbling Castle and the Fourth Color Suite. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
I don't know, man. I'll tell you, the sound of constant lightning would be enough to block out the thought of the end of the world if it weren't for the tinnitus from the bomb.
Mm-hmm. Fourth color.
Yeah, I think, yes, please.
I walk the streets, holy, supreme, and see that all has been, all that will be. Third eye is free. I am nobody. Tetrachromacy. You and I have been talking about the fourth color.
Yes.
Since we met.
Yeah.
Over 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I was watching this and reading the lyrics, and like, I know the lyrics, but I'm just reading and watching and thinking, like, how is Stu, I don't know. Where is this coming from for him?
I think it's there to be seen. I think people see the fourth color sometimes. I think I don't know. I think that happens to people sometimes. I think that happens every now and then. Something will happen. And then you see the fourth color. You know, for me, it's like, I don't know, their most psychedelic song in a way. It is,
yeah.
You know, it's the song about what happens when some shit just breaks through and that whatever, that thing that some people call by a bunch of different names happens in a psychedelic experience and you come out with a head full of like brilliant and or terrible ideas that you try to explain to your friends who don't want to hear it. And you're probably right, but you can't talk about it. But he does, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know, man. No body, no eyes, no ears,
no tongue, no body, no mind, nothing to see, nothing to hear, nothing to taste, nothing to touch, nothing to think of. No part of you that sees. No part of you that's aware that what you see. Mm-hmm. No part of you that thinks. The same is true up to the part of you that thinks and the part of you that's aware of what you're thinking. Yeah, something like that.
It's fucking crazy.
Dude, bruh. Yeah.
All right, fine. Deal. Second set.
Head on.
Oh, Timeland was played on the PA between the sets.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Cool, right? Yeah. Neat moment. What a neat thing it must have been to be at this show.
Hmm. Yeah. Set opens with Head on Pill into
Long.
Am I in Heaven? 23 minutes.
Yeah.
Star Spangled Banner intro for some reason. Because they love America, I guess.
See? Yeah, right. Or Jimi Hendrix or both.
I mean, I think if you love America, you have to love Hendrix.
Yes, I think that's right. Kind of early sweet apocalypse song in their repertoire. Yeah.
Hypertension teases, witchcraft teases.
Yeah. Everybody knew that everybody that I knew had jumped right in and taken over you. And I swear, even the oceans changed its hue. The lesson rings again, repeats in my brain. Let's all put her to the test. Come on, suck our mother's breast.
Well, everybody that we knew has jumped right in and taken over you. And I swear even the sky has changed its blue. The lesson rings again, repeats within my brain. Let's all put her to the test. Come on, suck our mother's breast.
I love that. Oh, it's so,
poor mother.
So good.
She doesn't need this.
No, the music.
Yes.
Nice pairing. Head on Pill. Yeah. Am I in Heaven? I really would love to get both of these at Field of Vision.
Yeah, it's good. It's reasonable.
It is reasonable. I want a lot of things. We're going to make a list.
Cool. Let's make a list. We should make a list.
You know,
there's time.
Yeah. You know. Followed by Venusian 1 and Venusian 2, a drum solo in Venusian 1.
Yeah, right. Which could seem like a really radical transition from the latter, but doesn't feel that way in action. And then, according to Joey, the fastest they've ever played, Venusian 2, or the two Venusians.
It might be true. Also, he might be anoxic.
Yeah, he might be. That's right.
This was followed by Billabong Valley, Joey saying, all right, baby doll, what you got for us?
Mm-hmm.
All right, baby doll, what you got for us?
We got a little song about a bush ranger.
It's a sexy cowboy.
Like a mad dog.
Mad Morgan.
Ambi decidedly on the banana now, no question, with Stu at Ambi Station. Calves with so much gong. Yes.
Mad Cunt Morgan.
Joey calling him Mad Cunt Morgan. Yeah, right.
Is Ambrose only playing the theme line on this? Is he playing any other part?
He's playing rhythm.
Okay.
He's not playing the theme line.
Okay.
That's very Joey. that very slow bong 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 bong, just like too impossibly patient.
It works in Motor Spirit.
Yeah, dude, it does. Yeah, it takes some, like, I don't know, it takes some fucking cojones to just be willing to slow down and not feel rushed and not feel it doesn't matter if anyone needs to rush you. He really takes his time here, and I fucking like it.
It works. This is followed by more microtonal, minimum brain size.
This is one of the only songs I might like better on the album, and I like it when they play it live, but I don't feel like they give it a lot of attention. It's just 4 minutes here, for example.
Yeah, I agree.
But I fucking love this song on the album.
I love it anywhere.
I do too. But I feel like it, I don't know, it's like a crowning jewel for me of the double album.
Mm-hmm. This was followed by Static Electricity.
Sure.
8 minutes. I'm still trying to figure out the time signature for the verse on this. This is so crazy. The theme is like I don't know if he's hammering or bending or both.
That's why you've got your abacus there in the background.
Mm-hmm. My banana cream abacus.
Dude, do Ambia solid, would you?
Oh, let him end the pass. Good Lord. I don't know if I want to play this song on my guitar anymore. Ambrose explains where this came from, and it sounds like his family is kind of, it's a rough situation, or was.
Alright, this song's about, like, my mom and her sisters. They all hate each other. And I had to live at my grandma's for a bit. Or my nan's, sorry. And one of my aunties put up cameras in the hallway. And then my cousin came over, went crazy. I was like, oh, just chill.
Thanks for sharing that, dude.
Sometimes you just, you know, you can't stop that shit. So,
just gonna write families songs about it instead. Yeah. Families are fucked, they're also incredible. My family is on stage with me right now. Think about that, everyone.
Yeah. I don't need my aunties. I got my brothers.
Is that your auntie?
And then
Edith Kenny Smith comes out and assures Ambie it's all okay, baby bro.
Right. The song is dedicated to his sister, Joey's wife. It's all okay, baby bro. She grabs the mic. Oh my gosh.
Give it up to Rita!
Yes! It's all okay, baby bro. Love you, sis.
All right, it's good.
Oh, little guy.
Little crispy shrimp boy. Man, that's tough. Like, I'm sorry, Ambrose. Drink as much as you want.
For a little while, just keep living.
Yeah. This was followed by, finally, we get back to the Altered Suite. Alter Me 3, okay, and Altered Beast 4.
Yeah, no video here, by the way. Due to technical difficulties, the last 15 minutes of the show are lost to video.
Yeah, who knows what we missed.
I don't know. I mean, I think I have an inkling. It was Alter Me 3, Altered Beast 4, and Float Along, although there is some Float Along terrible video that exists, not from the official recording, but a fan video.
I haven't seen that. This Float Along started with a small false start in the intro, which I only mentioned because I have learned to play the intro, and it is not easy. It's a fast little thing.
you, I mean, dutifully played the false start that this is that often is a part of the song, apparently?
Where I point to myself in the mirror?
And say, yeah, and say, no, you go.
You go. Yeah. I mean, in a way, that's happening in my heart mind.
Yeah. Last song of the tour. Fucking song makes me fucking cry the second it starts.
As it should. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could not really make out what the lyrics were this time.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I don't know why people don't talk about it, but it is different every time, and it's usually a referencing the venue or someone there. Like at the Palp Fest, it's like, I saw you in the greenhouse, because they're in this glass room.
Yeah.
It contained a metal jam, which was pretty cool. It
tends to be.
Yeah. Always,
yeah, it's fucking great. Should have been, could have been, would have been some Tetrachromacy and Hypertension.
Yeah, they were on the set list, but they ran out of time. That, yeah, Hypertension, this would have been the debut? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa.
Thank you so much!
Yeah!
What a time. Love you guys. Good job.
That's Red Rocks 2022. We did it. I'm so tired. Huh.
Amazing. God, take it easy a sec. Here, smoke this.
Oof.
Drink this. Put this in your fish hole.
What do you think about the show?
I mean, I thought it was amazing. I loved it. Do I think it's the greatest show? It's, I don't know. I have this theory about the best Beatles album that relates, that I think it is inarguably the White Album because there are more songs.
Mm-hmm.
Pound for pound, I've got to go with Abbey Road because I feel like they are at their best as masters and working well together. But God, there are a lot of songs. I mean, I'll give you that. That's one good reason to pick Red Rocks 22. There's so much of it.
What was the number you
said? 86 songs.
God, wow.
We only had 70.
69.
69.
Very good.
Nice. Very good.
And it was around the same amount of time.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, the Nathan stuff stretches out.
Yes,
so,
it does.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Who was it?
I didn't.
Let them talk.
Great
let them
show.
In the past.
Not my favorite show.
No, I mean, I couldn't say that either. I mean, they keep getting better. What are you going to do? Maybe at the time you would have felt that way.
Oh, absolutely. But I think, and I don't know that everyone agrees with me, but like, I really think the electronic stuff is huge. I love it. I keep thinking about that European tour from fall, how that gets better. That ages well in my mind.
Yeah. What's that going to be as a part of sets again? You know, what's guest star Nathan going to be like now that they've had all this extra time, not to mention whatever the fuck album they're fucking making with whatever kind of a Nathan.
Yeah.
I think that this show demonstrates an astonishingly broad band that has gotten much broader since
mm-hmm,
then.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is in 2022. This is like, no one's ever done anything like this. There's no one like this, and they continue to prove that no one is like them.
Yeah, right. And they continue to be that way to themselves.
Absolutely.
Bluegrass, of course. You know, when I heard bluegrass, I thought, well, fucking of course bluegrass, because, and the reason that it feels like a perfect natural fit is because, really, bluegrass?
Really? Electronic music?
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Fucking great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure it was in 2019. It was really like metal.
Yeah, and it really is. And they're, you know, and I love metal, and they're, you know, two of my favorite metal albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're my favorite metal band.
And my favorite rapper.
They are my favorite. They're my favorite so many genres.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, let's wrap up some Omnium Gatherum.
Yeah, what do you have to say for yourself?
I have something that's kind of fun I saw, which is gizradio.live. So someone started a little live streaming giz-free thing. and they're just playing, let's see, what are they playing right now? They're doing Field of Vision. They have Red Rocks 22, Copenhagen 25, Chicago 23, Milwaukee 24, Sydney 21, Brisbane 21, and the Melbourne Rave Show.
Wow. It's expanded a lot since I last looked.
Yeah. That's it awesome. Was, yeah. And it's just like, you just, sometimes you don't want to decide which show you want to listen to and just open. So I just open gizradio.live.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, you know what I would love? I don't know if we could mess it. I would love a live chat in there.
That'd be cute.
Wouldn't that be cute? It's so fun during live shows. And it's one of the things that I feel like I miss watching old shows is the live chat is really a hoot. So it would really be fun to have a live Giz Radio with live chat to chat with whoever happens to be there about whatever song you're listening to.
It doesn't even have an indicator of how many people are listening, which might be for the best, but that's cute. I'll just be in there typing sea green.
Same. Yeah.
Just write a script that does that. Do you have anything for us?
Man, I don't know. Not really. I'm excited. I'm excited about our next show.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So we're doing, I don't know how comprehensive we can get. I mean, the answer is, of course, there are limits. We're just going to chat about Giz early years leading up to Willoughby's Beach. I guess we're going to have to talk about teenage Giz, but we're going to talk about some earlier formations of the band and some of the earliest gigs in the band. And we're just going to, yeah, have fun with the early gnarlies. And I know a little bit, but I don't know. I'm an obsessive. I like to dig in and learn more. It's a problem for the other members of my family sometimes.
And I put it to good use here.
Yeah, right. But we have each other.
Oh, that fateful day when I said, you should go see this band that's coming to your town.
Fuck. Yeah, I think I said to you, they're coming to town. Should I go see them?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you said, yes, I was going to come, but you didn't come. But no. It was, yeah, and it fucking fucked me all up.
I'm still that guy standing in the wet field at Remlinger, like, what just happened?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we'll have to do that show at some point, you know? I'm, like, a little embarrassed at how recently and I became a Giz fan because I'm an obsessive. And so it's like, you know, I don't want all of our many, many, many listeners to know that I have no right to be here. But I feel like the community's like not ever been that way for me. I just feel like always so embraced. Like I have one qualification. I fucking love this band so much.
That's a great qualification. Yeah. There's still a lack of gatekeeping that I really like.
Yeah. Please, man.
And so we're going to talk about the early stuff. I'm excited. I'm going to learn a lot because I don't know nothing about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a blast. Hey, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for spending the time with us. Thank you, Professor.
I got to edit this bullshit.
Good luck, motherfucker.
All right. See you around.
Bye, friends.
Thank you very much for your cooperation.
That was fucking sick.